Hello everyone, let me introduce myself. My name is Pierre Guitteron. I have been head of technologies at EDF Renewable for more than 10 years, and the topic today is about electricity production by photovoltaics. You have here the outline of my presentation. First, I will highlight that production of electricity by photovoltaic has been the energy revolution of the 21st century, and we'll try to tell you why, how could it happen, what are the fundamentals of this revolution. Then we will look at PV plants, how they look like, what are the components. Then, of course, what are the attention points when you design a photovoltaic power plant, and we will end with some consideration on the future. Why is it an energy revolution? I think that the graphs we have here are talking by themselves. On the left side, you have the evolution of the levelized cost of electricity produced by photovoltaic plants as a function of time, starting in 2010, ending in 2021, and you see a strong decrease of this price as a function of time. In fact, 10 years ago, production of electricity by photovoltaic was the most expensive way to produce electricity. Today, it is the less expensive way of producing electricity, as you can see on the right slide, where you have the LCOE for different technologies. Then why? Is it real? What are the fundamentals for that? And the response is yes, it is right, it is true, and there are fundamentals for that. First point, I want to highlight that photovoltaic electricity is a direct conversion from light to electricity with no thermal vehicle. It is a bit magic. In fact, you have here on the left side a piece of silicon with two electrodes. When you illuminate these cells, then you have a current flowing between the two electrodes connected to a load on the cell you see here, and this is the same for the PV modules you see on the right. Why that? In fact, to have this effect, you need first a semiconductor. Then you need to constitute a PN junction. A PN junction is constituted by two sheets of semiconductor. The M-type is doped in a certain way so that it has an excess of electrons or an excess of free electrons. The other one, the P-type, has a number of sites able to collect electrons. When they are together, you have migration of charges, creating a depletion zone, you see in the middle on the top left graph. You have charge into this, you have apparition of charges into the intermediate layer. As you can see now on the graph, this charge creates an electric field. And then when you illuminate the cell, you have the bombardment of photons to the photovoltaic cell. Electrons collect these photons, and this energy they collect permits the flow of electricity. And then you have electrical energy. So it is direct conversion, either by silicon, as you can see on the left, then the PN junction is obtained by a different doping of intrinsic silicon, or you can use different materials, as you can see on the right, CdTe and CdS, both doped in different ways, so that you again obtain the PN junction and production, direct production of electricity. Then, as a consequence of that, a photovoltaic plant is very simple compared to thermal plant because you have direct conversion from light to electricity. When you look to a plant, how it looks like, it is very simple. you expose modules to light, and then you collect electricity. You have absolutely no thermal media to convert thermal energy to electrical energy. Ah, yes, there is some difficulty because a photovoltaic module creates a DC current and a DC voltage. So if you want to create an AC current, like it is the case in public network, for public networks and even for appliances in homes, you have to invert the current from DC to AC. You can use either a string inverter, as shown on the left. In this case, you connect some 100 modules to the inverter, or you can use a central inverter as illustrated on the right, and then you connect thousands of modules to this inverter, or even 10,000 of modules. The single diagram is quite simple. It's really the electrical simple diagram shows that you have series connection and parallel connection of modules, all connected to string or central inverters, and then connected to a transformer in order to feed a public network, or if it is roof-mounted plant, residential appliances, or B2B appliances. You can see on the right how it looks like. It's simply forests of modules, or sea of modules. You can distinguish on the right, on the middle right, some central inverters you can see in the middle of the plant. The plant on top right are equipped with string inverters. String inverters are beside the modules, as you can see, and so you do not see them on the picture. So the previous slide was about PV plants ground-mounted, but a specificity of photovoltaic is you can install PV modules on roofs, either on residential, in individual houses, or for B2B businesses, large businesses or small businesses. This is also a specificity of PV. Because it is simple, then an individual can own a PV plant. So in essence, it is very simple, and of course, simplicity means low cost. Then, of course, there have been continuous technological progress. All this cost decrease has been obtained by technological progress. A lot of aspects made progress, but let me highlight the evolution of PV efficiency. The efficiency, meaning this efficiency being defined as the amount of electricity you produce per amount of light you collect in the right units. And you see that in the last 10 years, this efficiency permanently increased. And so when the efficiency increase, the price of modules decrease, even the price of plants decrease. Simple way to explain it is you have more power for exactly the same plant, and so the price of energy per power becomes lower. Then, of course, you have industrialization by volumes is really a very strong and efficient way of decreasing costs. You see here on the graph on the top, on the bottom left, represent the very well-known Moore law, which applies to photovoltaic. And you see here the decrease of the price of modules as a function of quantity produced. And this is real. This is what happened. And so as production increases, costs are decreasing very sharply. You see here on this new graph on the top left that quantity produced increased sharply according to the graph you see below. And as a consequence of that, what you have on this graph is the percentage of electricity from photovoltaic origin in the electrical mix of different countries as a function of time. And so you see that now it becomes real. Of course, in some exceptions like Chile, where they have a lot of sun PV electricity represents now more than 15% of the electrical mix. In the world, it is 5%, increasing more or less 1% each year. So that's a lot. That's really a lot. And you see in other countries like Spain, France, China, US, it really illustrates that in all countries of the world, the amount of electricity produced by photovoltaic is increasing sharply and gets bigger and bigger. And then, of course, all that simplicity, continuous technological progress, industrialization by volumes results in capital cost decrease, as you can see on the graphs here. So what you have here is as a function of time again, the decrease of capital cost for photovoltaic plants. You see that the price of modules are decreasing. This is in yellow, but also other components decreased. Inverters, for instance, price of inverters decreased, and this is learning curve. Here it is not change of technology, like it was the case in modules sometimes. It is more about learning curve by volume. When you repeat each time the same kind of production, then you make progress in your production process and this decreases costs. This is even true for the structures. You may think that pieces of steel should have the same price for 10 years. It has not been the case for PV. There is also a learning curve associated to that. There is also a learning curve associated to the cost of installation. When you learn, you are able to build quicker and quicker. And so this results in cost decrease. So really, you see here permanent capital cost decrease. And all that explains that really PV has been the revolution for energy of the 21st century. Then let's move on how it looks like. You have here a graph illustrating what happens in the life of a photovoltaic project. First, you have a pre-development phase where you build a portfolio of plants. In fact, very often with PV, you may have very big plants, but also some small ones. So you build a portfolio. You start to define a purchase policy. You also start to make first economical evaluations because also all that, of course, work with economics. And if you consider that some plants in your portfolio are ready to be developed, then you move to what we call the development phase. There is a decision in companies very often associated to that, which is project development. At that stage, you enter into development. You define the layout of the plant. You make energy yield calculations. This is, of course, of primary importance because this largely influences the business case. You define a business model according to the regulation of the country. And the goal of this phase is to obtain a permit for building. You also consider financing. After that, when you have all that, very often in companies, there is an investment decision. You have a building permit, so you can move to the construction phase. In this phase, it's really about engineering of construction. You define the lots of construction. You define, prepare land. You do the electrical balance of system, the mechanical balance of system, and you install the modules. After the construction phase, you enter into the operation and maintenance phase. This operation and maintenance phase is not very costly for PV because there is not a lot to do. However, this is quite an important phase because if you lose power, if you do the O&M wrong, then you lose power on the plant, and so very quickly you can kill the business case. So it means it's not very costly, but if you neglect it because it is not costly, then you can have a lot of losses. And of course, there is a fifth phase you should not forget, afterlife, you have the decommissioning and waste management, especially on modules. And the good way, the good new on that is that in Europe and more in other countries, but Europe has been pioneering on that, there is a way to treat modules at their end of end of life. There is an industry for that, and there is a regulation for that, and there is also money saved at the beginning of the project for that. I told you that making a PV plant is simple. Of course, nevertheless, there are attention points. If you are not doing the work carefully, then you will have problems. First of all, you have to be careful on the environment of the plant, starting with topography. Ideally, for PV ground-mounted PV plant, you would like to have flat land. This is not usually possible, so you have to consider topography carefully. If it is not flat, it means that you have to be careful on the arrangement of structures and the structures you will choose. The second point is you have to be very careful on shadings. Of course, shading creates power decrease on the plant. And even worse, if you shade only one module, in fact, in reality, you will decrease the power of several modules, all modules connected in series, meaning 10 or even 15. And so, of course, this produces shading, can produce quite severe power decrease and degrade the business case. So you have to avoid as much as possible shading losses. You have networks, you have to be careful to networks you may have in the vicinity of the plant, creating also shading, by the way. You usually have environmental constraints. One of the big disadvantages of PV is it consumes a lot of land. You need large surface for making ground-mounted PV plants. And so, as a consequence of that, it is usually you have a zone inside your plant with special environmental constraints you should take into account. And again, this is not an exception. This is daily life. And so you have to save habitats for the full year or for certain seasons, and you have to be really careful on that. This is the same for hydraulic constraints. You may have water flowing inside the site, and of course you have to maintain that and make sure that hydraulics can still flow when you have the PV plant, meaning save a part of the land in order to make that happen. And last but not least, you need to be careful on the limitation of electrical stations you will have in the vicinity. If you have a PV plant but you cannot export electricity, of course, it does not help a lot and you should not do the project. So you have to be very careful on the export capacity of the station. Then for plant design, you also have attention points on engineering and on the choice of components. Of course, the first thing to do is to choose a module. You have some possibilities to choose different kind of models or to choose different kind of technologies like multicrystalline, polycrystalline, CDT. You may choose bin class, meaning if you choose a large module, a bit heavy, but producing a lot of power, or several smaller modules. And all that is really done according to the optimization of the plant. Then you have to choose an inverter. You may have micro inverters. In fact, you could have one inverter per module. Very often you do that for plants on roof because it wouldn't be economical to do that for a large ground-mounted power plant. You can also use a string inverter connecting several hundreds of modules, I said before, or a central inverter. All that is really a choice made on the basics of economics you have locally. There is not a general law telling you that you should choose a string inverter against a central inverter. Then another important parameter is the DC to AC ratio. In fact, you do not size the inverter you will buy according to the maximum power of the plant. This would be uneconomical because you would size, if you do that, you size the inverter for some hours in the life of the plant. So usually you size the inverter at a power slightly less than the maximum power of the plant during its lifetime. And this, according to that, you define a DC to AC ratio. And then another important optimization is the engineering, is to choose the way you connect the modules in series or parallel. And again, this is something you have to optimize on a case-to-case basis. You have also other attention points on the engineering phase. The way you tilt the modules on a ground-mounted plant. A rough calculation tells you that you should have a tilt according to the latitude on the site where you are. But it is a bit more complex because there is also the effect of shading from one module to the others. And if you consider that, then you have what we call inter-array shading. And so if you want to minimize inter-array shading, you have to tilt the module a bit less. And so there is an optimum associated to that according to the place where you are. And as a consequence of that, the tilt angle is not exactly, it's less than the latitude of the place where you find yourself. You have also different structures you can choose. You can orient the module to the south. You can also orient them east-west. And in a country like France, really the choice between both is a bit narrow, and this really depends sharply on the sites and different parameters. And then you can use trackers. The tracking permits to orient the modules to the sun during the day. The structure costs a bit more. Even the O&M costs a bit more because you have a motor. But then you produce more energy, and again, it is an optimum. In the equator, it is quite clear that you have to use trackers, because here, the efficiency of the tracking, the additional power you have, is really high. In France, in a country like France, it is also a point of discussion. Some developers use trackers, some use fixed structure, and so it is really a case-to-case choice, and even it can be industrial policy choice from developers. And last but not least, what you have on the right here is the description of all the losses you have in a PV plant. And you have also, of course, to consider them and try to minimize them. The first source of losses, or an important source of losses, is the heating of the modules. In fact, the efficiency or the power produced by modules, according to standards, is defined at 25 degrees. In reality, a module is operated at a much higher temperature, typically 50, 60 degrees when it produces electricity. And as a consequence of that, temperature losses, because the power delivered by a module decreases with temperature for the same sunlight. You may have also shading losses. Sometimes you cannot avoid them, but of course you have to minimize them. So inter-array shading losses, also losses with trees, or very often on residential, you may have losses from this type. You may have soiling losses. When your modules are soiled, then they lose some power. So here you have the arbitrage. Do you want to spend some money in cleaning the modules or not? If you don't clean them, of course, you will lose some power. If you clean them, you lose less power. So all that has to be determined. Now, let's talk about the future. Is it the end of the story? Is there still R&D to make in the domain of photovoltaic? I want to tell you, yes, there is a lot of R&D still to be done, or improvement, industrial improvement to be done on PV, and this will create, again, progress and cost decrease. First, you may ask yourself, why do people still spend time on using another energy than photovoltaic, since it is the less expensive today? The reason for that is the limitations you have on PV, because they are limitations. First, PV is variable. You have the variability of PV. And to address that, you have to use storage. PV does not produce during night, for instance. And you have storage. But the solutions today are not totally developed. What you see here is different ways of storing electricity. The historic one is pumped hydro, and it is well proven. However, the number of sites is limited. So since PV will be very widely developed, you cannot count 100% on pumped hydro in order to compensate the variability of PV. There is battery, which arrived more recently, especially lithium-ion batteries. They are well proven today, but they have some limitation. For instance, you cannot today, you can store for maximum 6 hours, maybe 10, but not more than that, like it is the case for pumped hydro. And so other technologies have to be looked for. Hydrogen is certainly one, but everybody knows that efficiency is quite low. So you lose a lot of energy if you store energy using hydrogen media. You have other possibilities like storing by a thermal media. But then I told you that PV is simple because there is no thermal. So if you have thermal, it's a bit more complex and a bit more costly. So you have other ways, and there is a lot of R&D on that. This is one strong limitation of PV. The other limitation of PV, as I told you before, is the land requirement. PV requires a lot of land. Today, and we need that, land is used mainly for agriculture. And today, it is forbidden in almost all countries in the world to build PV on agriculture. And this restricts a lot the opportunities for PV installation, especially in a country like France. A very elegant way to solve this problem is to combine production of electricity by photovoltaic with agriculture. It means cultivate plants underneath the PV modules. And it is possible. Even theory says that it is possible, because plants do not need 100% of the sun all the year. Also, they do not need the same spectrum on the light we receive. So it is really possible to share the sun between agriculture, growing plants, and production of PV by electricity. Of course, it will be a bit more expensive for PV, but since costs now are very low and will continue to decrease, there is certainly an optimum to find. And on this, we can say that France is pioneering on production of PV by agriculture, because this is the only way to achieve the volumes authorities want to achieve in France through photovoltaics. We have also then, in certain countries, to address financing costs. This is also another limitation in PV. PV is very capex intensive, even if capex are low, but a PV plant, the cost of electricity produced by PV is governed almost 100% by capex, meaning you have no leverage on OPEX. And so in some risky countries, then the risk is 100% on the capex, 100% on this moment when you build the plant and then you start to operate it. And as a consequence of that, you see on the graph that in some countries, the cost for financing is very high. This is in light blue. This cost is very high compared to the global cost of a plant. And this has to be addressed probably by special ways to finance PV in certain countries. This explains, by the way, why PV is not so heavily deployed as it should be in countries like Africa. And then, to finish with, is there still technical progress possible on modules? We have seen that efficiency increased permanently for 10 years. Is it the end of the story, or will it continue? Definitely, the answer is yes, it will continue. Today, the industrial efficiency of module is around 23%, 22, 23, 24. Near term, we have still ways to improve efficiency through technologies. But there is a limitation with the technology, the PN junctions we have today, which is a technology we use to collect the sunlight. There is a physical limit, very well known, which is called the Shockley-Kaiser limit. And we say this limit says that efficiency of a PV module is limited around 33%, which is 10% more than 23. But we start to see this limitation. Medium term, we have to explore multi-junction concept, meaning that instead of having only one PN junction, we may have several junctions, and then the Shockley-Kaiser limit does not exist anymore. And if we consider very long term, the ultimate theoretical limit for PV efficiency is around 67% without concentration and 85% if you add concentration. The reference for that is a lecture given by Professor Lanco at the Collège de France in 2022, and he said that, proved by science, that this is the limit. And so you see that this 67% limit, or even 85%, is very far from the efficiency we have today. All that is showed in this graph. Let's consider first the green curve. This is the efficiency of multi-junction cells based on ASGA material, arsenide gallium material, and they can achieve efficiencies for 45%. So why did I tell you that today it is limited to 23? In fact, these cells are only used for the space industry. They are very expensive, and as a consequence, used mainly for the space industry. But still, a 45% efficiency is possible today. Then there is another concept you can see on the graph. You can see on the graph here. It is based on the association of silicon and perovskite technology. So that's a kind of multi-junction with, let's say, two or three junctions rather than one. And here it is probably a way to achieve 30% efficiency in medium term, let's say 5 years from now. And you have all the PV community today is working on that and is announcing targets like 30%. And then longer term, you may have completely new devices based on quantum mechanics, permitting to reach efficiencies like probably 50 and 60%. So you see again why PV for me is really the energy revolution of the 21st century. It has a brilliant future. It becomes now more and more a significant component of the electricity mix, and it has a bright future with a lot of progress still to be made. Thank you for your attention.